With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill-sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by the esteemed Kenny McDonald. Kenny, it would take a lot, or it does take a lot, to almost rival Celtic's title-winning weekend in terms of headlines, but the Battle of Hamilton has come quite close. Extraordinary state of affairs at New Douglas Park, as I prefer to call it. St Johnstone's Richard Foster and Danny Swanson coming to blows at half-time. Your thoughts and what you've read, because clearly we've not been able to view it.
I think the fact that we've not been able to view the more serious aspects of it might well save the two of them. I think had the entire incident been caught by TV cameras, then their St Johnstone playing careers would be in real jeopardy. That wasn't the case, so working on the principle that you are innocent until proven guilty, I think that might be to their benefit. But, you know, it has happened from time to time before. It's normally a once in a decade thing. We all remember David Batty once at Blackburn getting involved with one of his teammates. But it's very unusual to see it, and one can only imagine how Tommy Wright dealt with it, because I'm sure he would have stripped the paint off the Super Seal Stadium dressing room walls at halftime.
For those who didn't witness it, apparently it was a tasty, delicious confrontation.
The one thing that I would say is that, having had dealings with both players in the past, it seems completely out of character. But clearly words have been exchanged. It looks as though it was at the end of a rather nondescript first half at Hamilton. But clearly something has been said in the heat of the moment. One has reacted, one has responded, everyone's piled in, there's been a melee. And the other thing that makes it clear to me that there clearly was something of significance happened is that the match referee, Don Robertson, is one of these referees who is well known within football for trying to keep his cards in his pocket. He likes to let the game flow, he likes to have good dialogue with players. So clearly he has seen something or had something brought to his attention which was sufficiently significant that he had no option but to show both players the red card.
I mean, in your long distinguished career, Kenny, you'll have seen plenty of such incidents yourself on the pitch. So you wouldn't be particularly surprised that this has happened, but from the St Johnstone manager Tommy Wright's point of view, I mean, how do you expect him to deal with this?
Well, as I say, I think he might be hamstrung by the fact that, you know, he doesn't have video evidence that he can point to and say to both players, there it is on camera, you've embarrassed the club, you've shamed yourselves, and I've really got no option but to tear up your contracts. Because I'm sure that if there was compelling video evidence, that would be the logical conclusion. But in the absence of that, Tommy Wright spoke after the game, and it was almost as if he was aware that he might be limited as to what he would be able to do. He made a reference to what he could legally do. That to me suggests that he knows that the ultimate sanction he can provide would probably be a 2 weeks fine of wages.
I mean, I've got a lot of time for Tommy Wright, as I'm sure you have. A very good manager. I certainly wouldn't want to cross him. And clearly he has the power to sack them if he so wishes, but it would be surprising, wouldn't it, if he took that sanction?
You get into very grey areas of employment law if you do that. If you terminate someone's work contract, then the person says, well, you have to provide ironclad, copper-bottomed proof that I was in breach. And there doesn't seem to be any ironclad copper bottom proof. So I think that is why Tommy Wright might be restricted. But as I say, I can imagine what Tommy Wright will have said to both Swanson and Foster at half-time on Saturday, and it would not have made reading for a family newspaper.
Now, it wasn't just Foster and Swanson that Wright was unhappy with. He was also, it would seem, very unhappy with his Hamilton counterpart, Martin Canning, and his number two, Guillaume Bouzelin, for appearing to put pressure on the referee to send off the two St Johnstone players. Can you understand where Tommy's coming from?
No, because Guillaume Bouzelin is absolutely right. in what he said. But had it been two Hamilton players caught in an incident like that, Tommy Wright would have been bringing it to the referee's attention just to underline to him that if you punch an opposing player, you get a red card. Now, you shouldn't be any different. If you punch one of your teammates, you should get a red card as well. And that's clearly what Don Robertson has finally done. But I think had the boot been on the other foot, Tommy Wright would have been utterly within his rights to bring it to the referee's attention. And I think that's what Boozlin, Canning and also Darren McKinnon of Hamilton were doing at halftime.
I mean, strictly from a football point of view, is it possible to underestimate how important that win was for Hamilton?
Well, not at all. I mean, they left it late. You can say that they're up against nine men for the whole second half, but it took them a long while to make their advantage count. But such a big win for them, especially with a local derby against Motherwell in midweek. You know, if they were to win that, then you could see them climbing, I think, three places if results go their way. So a big, big win for them at the weekend, an important late goal.
A very sour day for St Johnstone, but nevertheless, once again, top six secured because of results elsewhere. I think that's a sixth successive season. I mean, that's a tremendous achievement for St Johnstone.
No, I mean, it's a fantastic achievement. I mean, we're getting to the stage where we discuss our manager of the year, you know, and without doubt, Brendan Rodgers will have his backers. But so will Tommy Wright, because the job he does in what is, whatever St Johnstone people get upset when you point it out, it's not a football town, it's not a place where the locals will come and support. They have a hardcore who, God love them, travel all over the country supporting them, but it is not a football community. And what St Johnstone and Tommy Wright has done there over the past few seasons has been staggering. The consistency they have shown makes him a worthy candidate to be a manager of the year.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. Joining me in our Glasgow HQ is the highly regarded Kenny McDonald. Kenny, Celtic secured six in a row with a thumping 5-0 win over Hearts at Tynecastle. No surprise that they won, but, you know, was it impressive for you, Kenny, that while not particularly playing, I thought, special, they have still wrapped up this title in style?
I think the performance on Sunday kind of summed up Celtic's season. Absolutely relentless, absolutely emphatic. Once they were in front, there was no leeway given to Hearts to get back into the game, and at stages during the second half, it was certainly a matter of how many goals Celtic would win by. And it's terrific to watch that, you know, because if Celtic had gone to Tynecastle and won 1-0, you know, scrambled the 3 points, won their title, got over the finishing line, they would have been thoroughly deserved champions. But the fact that they did it with such style is a kind of vindication of the way they've been playing all season.
There's so many elements of Celtic's run to this latest championship success that you can highlight, compliment, praise, whatever. I must admit, Kenny, the attitude throughout the season, you've just highlighted the fact they were relentless. The attitude is tremendous. They've not eased up.
And that only comes from one person. That is why you pay big bucks for top level management, because they can go in and they can make James Forrest a better player. They can play Stuart Armstrong in a position where they're getting the best out of him. They can make Callum McGregor a more consistent player, as well as rescuing Scott Sinclair, finding Moussa Dembele, making Craig Gordon a better all-round goalkeeper in terms of distribution. That's what good managers do, and that's what Brendan Rodgers has done.
I was at Tynecastle with our chief football writer Robert Grieve yesterday, and you look at the Celtic starting lineup, and 10 of them were players that he's inherited. He's not brought in a huge amount of players, as you've just testified to, but a proper manager making better the players he inherits, that's so impressive.
That is his attribute. That's what he has been able to do. Because, I mean, these Celtic players were, it's a ludicrous thing to say about a team that have just won two titles, but last summer they were underperforming. They weren't playing to their standards. So he has gone in, he's given them focus, he's made them better players. They're playing a far more attractive brand of football now. People actually want to go and watch Celtic, which wasn't the case this time last year, as they were lumbering towards the second title under Ronnie Dyla. They're a far better and more attractive team to watch, and they also have now a realistic chance of making progress in the Champions League, which is what ultimately Brendan Rodgers will be judged by.
Do you see this being a treble? Do you see this being an invincible season for Celtic?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No question.
No, I don't think any of the three other teams in the Scottish Cup semi-finals are remotely close to Celtic if Celtic play to the form that they've been showing all season. It just comes back to that relentlessness thing. There have been very few occasions where they have not played well. The game at Inverness, they should have won. The game at Celtic Park against Rangers, they should have won. There have been very few chinks in the armour, and I think if they remain focused, they continue to bring their A game as they have done throughout the season, none of the other three semi-finalists will live with them.
An excellent point about the manager setting the tone, and with the greatest respect to Ronnie Dyla, who after all was a real friend of the media. He was terrific, certainly for us. Could he get away from the fact that the players didn't seem to have as much respect for him as possibly they should have done? They just weren't responding to him.
No, I mean, as you say, Ronnie Dyla, a lovely man.
Yep.
He's the sort of guy you would quite pleasantly have a bottle of beer with. Absolutely no problems with him on that score. But when he walks into a dressing room at half time and Celtic are losing, are players going to listen to him in the same way as they will listen to Brendan Rodgers, a man who's been in that set of circumstances with Luis Suarez and Stevie Gerrard? I think I know who I'd be paying more attention to.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. Joining me is Kenny McDonald. And Kenny, managers are constantly under pressure, whatever league we're talking about. And, you know, the Scottish Premiership's no different. We look at two particular managers at the moment. Paul Hartley, on the back of a 7-0 home defeat to Aberdeen at Dundee. Jim McIntyre at Ross County, desperate run he's on. He's just lost 2-1 at the weekend. One win in the last 10 games. Do you have any fears for Hartley and McIntyre at the moment? Do you think they're in a danger zone just now?
I don't think there's any doubt about the second part of your question, Derek. They're certainly in a danger zone. It's peculiar because there are three clubs below both Dundee and Ross County in the table, but that is only because the bottom six of the Premiership is so tight.
Is that danger zone in terms of their clubs, or you mean individually in terms of their futures?
Both.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, both.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair, Paul Hartley said after the game on Friday night, and both his captain Paul McGowan and the experienced Darren O'Day said similar things in their post-match interviews, that if they don't think they're in a relegation fight, they're in cloud cuckoo land, because the form they're showing, if you're shipping 7 goals at home to Aberdeen, particularly the nature, I saw the goals that they lost, and the nature of some of the goals were really, really pedestrian. And they now have a big, big game in midweek against Ross County, because something has to give there. You know, Jim McIntyre, as you say, another manager who's under pressure, but now has this opportunity to try and get back against one of their closest rivals. But again, easier said than done, because they're on a really poor run.
That's got the look of a delicious game, that one, that midweek fixture. And as you say, something's got to give. I mean, two good managers who, over the piece, you can say they have done good jobs at their clubs, but nevertheless, they're in bad moments just now, and they're clearly hoping that their chairman or their boards are not in kind of knee-jerk mood at the minute.
I think from that point of view, I would be more worried if I was Paul Hartley. Roy McGregor at Ross County is a chairman who keeps faith in managers, doesn't panic. I think he will allow Jim McIntyre the opportunity to see it through. They're both good managers, they've shown that. Paul Hartley, you know, was the manager of a Dundee team who beat Rangers last month. You know, they're both decent managers going through a bad time, but I would be slightly more concerned, I think, if I was Paul Hartley, because the boardroom at Dundee is far less secure than the one at Ross County is, and that would be concerning to me.
To be fair to both are conceding they're in desperate runs at the minute, but over the piece you'd probably say they should still be cut a bit of slack for what they've done overall. But of course, you and I know common sense in football generally doesn't occur.
Go back to what I said before, I think Roy McGregor will give Jim McIntyre every opportunity. to get themselves out of it. The danger would be if Inverness were to win a couple of games, if Motherwell were to get away from where they were, if Hamilton were to do well at Motherwell and Mid, and if Ross County and or Dundee happened to be in the bottom two places, that's when chairman and boards get twitchy. That would be the test of whether they are willing to stick by their manager or not.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor, and helping me to discuss current affairs in Scottish football is Kenny McDonald. Kenny, we discussed the Battle of Hamilton. Now, last week we had the Battle of Easter Road. Hibernian manager Neil Lennon, Morton manager Jim Duffy, almost coming to blows in the touchline. Now, the dust is still settling on this extraordinary bust-up between these two. I mean, they play each other again on Saturday. Explosive affair? Or how do you see this one going?
The unfortunate thing for Neil and Jim, two guys who, like yourself, I have a tremendous amount of time for, very, very likeable people, but combustible people, I think it'd be reasonable to say. The difference between the incident at Easter Road and the incident at Hamilton is that the incident at Easter Road was caught in the full relentless glare of the TV cameras and has been shown over and over and over again. Now, I've not spoken to Neil Lennon, I know you have. I spoke to Jim on Thursday morning after it, and he was deeply embarrassed by it because Jim and I are of a similar generation. He was clearly mortified
and
by what
he'd character
seen.
For Jim, wasn't
yeah,
it?
He'd never been sent to the stand before, 57 years old, a manager at some level in Scottish football since 1989. So you would like to think that he'll be cut a bit of slack by the powers that be over his first defence. Neil Lennon, however, I'm afraid can expect no such permissiveness, because I'm afraid he is a recurring offender. His conduct since has been poor. He has asked one of our colleagues to leave his press conference. Neil felt that the reporting of the incident had been unduly weighted towards Jim Duffy, something I personally disagree with.
I think Neil also has a feeling, wrongly, I have to stress, Kenny, that because Jim is a SunSport columnist, that in somehow has affected our coverage. Totally disagree.
Irrelevant.
And totally disagree with how our colleague Robert Martin was, as you referred to, was dealt with at the Friday press conference at Hibs Training Ground.
What Neil Lennon should have done on Friday was say, I've had 36 hours to reflect on it. It was all a bit silly. The authorities will do what they do, but let's get talking about our game on Saturday. Instead of which, he kept picking and picking at this sore because he believes he was wrong. He wasn't. He did stand on right on top of Kudus Onyegu. He was on the park. He was adopting a threatening stance, as was Jim Duffy. So they will both be punished, and they will both deserve punishment. Neil has a longer rap sheet than Jim Duffy. I'm afraid he can expect little leeway from Tony McGlennon.
I think they're two fantastic people for our game, Kenny.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
In their own ways, they bring so much to our game. Great managers, great characters.
But Neil Lennon is the manager of a team who are, what, 9 points ahead in the Championship? 9 points ahead of Falkirk?
Yep.
In the semi-final of the Scottish Cup, which they hold, he doesn't need to be going back 2 days to an incident that's happened last Wednesday night. He should be saying, this is in the past, it was a moment of stupidity, but let's go on with what we do best.
I mean, you know Jim as well as anyone, and I mean, he should have been better than he was on Wednesday night. But he's acknowledged that, and he's come out and admitted his embarrassment. And possibly Neil, despite clearly his emphatic protest to the contrary, Neil maybe privately would probably accept that he too could have conducted himself better. Is it too naive to think that in private the two of them could have a conversation in the build-up to this game to try and defuse this?
You would like to think that would happen, but what you would require in those circumstances is someone to extend the olive branch. I don't know if Jim will be of a mind to do that.
Okay.
I would seriously doubt if Neil would be of a mind to do that. The thing that we're going to make Saturday's game, apart from anything else, the Morton directors must be rubbing their hands with glee at the prospect of the way this has fallen, because they would have got a very healthy crowd at Capello on Saturday for the visit of the champions elect in the Championship anyway. But now it's going to be everybody's going to want to see this. The focus is going to be on the managers, and to add into the mix, it's probably impossible anywhere in Scottish football to get two technical areas that are closer closer to one another than they are at Capello.
Possibly Tynecastle, but certainly
there's not much in it. You could barely exhale in one technical area at Capello without the person in the other technical area feeling your breath. So you add that into the mix. The fourth official... They have fourth officials in the Championship. I think they might need one on Saturday.
I think they might be taking a weekend off for this one, but I don't think even Barry Hearn could have done a better job to promote ticket sales for this game, you know?
Fabulous. And of course, what will happen, the focus of all pre-game media attention, it will all go off very peacefully. They'll probably come out before the game and give one another a nice cuddle.
From an utterly selfish media point of view, we don't want them brokering peace before this game, do we?
No, absolutely not.
We want
this to go on until Saturday, but by Saturday, they'll have a long time reading and hearing about it, maybe come out with a nice handshake or a wee cuddle before the game.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. With me at our Glasgow HQ is Kenny McDonald. And Kenny, the Rangers manager Pedro Caixinha would appear to have been surprised by his Motherwell counterpart Stephen Robinson's tactics on Saturday at Ibrox. Was that one up for Mr. Robinson?
Credit to Stephen Robinson. I was at the game. I was surprised at Motherwell's tactics. They played a 3-4-3 with three up the park, which I think caught Rangers on the hop. Motherwell scored an early goal, which was crucial to the way they wanted to play, but could have scored other goals in the first half. And Rangers, to be honest, were a bit at sixes and sevens. Now, at half time, when Pedro Caixinha, after a first half in which, I may add, Rangers were booed off, but at half time, Pedro Caixinha made three substitutions and it looked as though this was decisive crisis management. Now, it turned out to be nothing of the sort. Clint Hill had a hamstring problem and both Lee Hodgson and Lee Wallace were suffering the effects of what Pedro Caixinha referred to as fever. So his hand was kind of forced into those changes and it left them with a very peculiar back three in the second half with John Terrell next to Rob Kiernan and Andy Halliday, who went on as a sub, effectively playing left back. So it was a very peculiar kind of afternoon. Rangers got back into it through Joe Garner, another substitute, but the game ebbed and flowed from end to end. Motherwell had a goal disallowed correctly. Rangers had a couple of opportunities, but the final chance of the game was a great save by Wes Fodringham, who is by far Rangers' best player, from Scott McDonald. So full credit to Steve Robinson. He went with a very bold attacking strategy and it worked a treat.
It's very early days, of course, for Robinson at Fir Park. What are your initial impressions overall about how he's gone about the job, Kenny?
I had misgivings when he arrived, simply because
of association?
No, not particularly, just because he had a very short spell in charge at Oldham that didn't go well, and that the reputation he had was as a terrific coach, but nobody really knew whether he was a leader of men. But you have to say, plenty of Motherwell managers have gone to Ibrox, tried to park the bus, and it's been unsuccessful. He went with a far more attacking strategy. The players all looked comfortable doing it and they got the rewards.
We've been talking about managers, Kenny, and I don't think we can avoid Ian Cathro at Hearts. I mean, another sickening result for the Hearts fans to digest. I think the recent record is 5 defeats in 6 games, including a Scottish Cup drubbing from Hibs of all teams. They just seem to be going backwards fast, Kenny. I think they're 5th now. They were 2nd when he came into the job. And although they're 5th, they're only 4 points ahead of Partick Thistle in 6th. How do you see this Cathro project going at the minute?
Not well. And he has a big, big week in store. St Johnstone away in midweek. Then I think it's Dundee at home on Saturday. 2 big games. 2 defeats in those games. The alarm bells would really be clanging for him. He has been deeply unimpressive on many fronts so far. Now, he has a heavy backing from Craig Levine at the club and he will be given plenty of opportunity to sort things out. Added to the mix is the fact that he does not come across well. Even yesterday, after being in charge, as you say, of the heavy defeat by Celtic, I thought his post-match comments were poor. I think in those circumstances, and I take his point that Hearts played well in the opening 15-20 minutes of the game, but when you've lost 5-0 to the champions on the day that they've won the title, you come out and you say, well done Celtic, they've been the best team all season, full credit to them and their manager. I thought his praise of Celtic was grudging and I thought it was poor, particularly from a rookie manager. He's got a lot to learn on many fronts, but as I say, it's a big week ahead for him.
You've been listening to the William Hill sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. Thank you very much, and thank you, Kenny, for your excellent opinions.